Welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Pastor Janet Bishop. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
So I wasn't sure what to call the message today. That's one of my dilemmas. It's hard for me to title messages because a lot of the messages have so many aspects to them, and sometimes it's easy, but not always. So today, I wasn't sure if I wanted to call it the Great Divide or the Spirit Divide. So you take your pick. The Great Divide or the Spirit Divide. So I don't know where you've been in your spiritual walk lately, but I know where I've been and where people that I hang out with have been, and a lot of them have been struggling with the world and what's going on in the world. And as I look at that and as I pray into that, what I see is that the enemy is trying to rob the church, each one of us, of the joy of the Lord. And so when I realized that for myself, I said, okay, Lord, I need to be filled with your joy. Where does your joy come from? Your joy comes from the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so I recognized that I was running not on empty. I wasn't empty, but I wasn't running on full. And so I said, okay, Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. You said, be being filled with your Holy Spirit. So then I listened to Bill Johnson, who gives this illustration of filling up a water bottle. And he holds up a bottle, unopened, never been opened. And mine has been, but picture it like up here. And he said, so this bottle is full enough to be sold as full. But he said, it's not really full. So then he opened it up, and he took another bottle, and he began to pour from the other bottle into the first bottle. And when he did, the level came up, and he kept pouring until it was right at the tippy top. And he said, now this looks full, but it's not really full. And he kept pouring until it was overflowing. He said, now it's full. And that's what Jesus wants to do for us. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. He wants to fill us to overflowing. So when we're filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, we get others wet with the Holy Spirit. And isn't that what he wants to do? And what I saw wasn't just, he doesn't want to just splash a little on you so you know it's there. Like he wants to drench you. I was at a women's meeting one time, and they decided it would be a good idea to anoint me with oil. And so one of the precious saints, Erin, took the bottle, and she started pouring it over my head. There was oil everywhere. And that's what that concept is, and we need to get that concept. Otherwise, we'll settle with good enough. So-so. We don't want to settle with good enough. Jesus said, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. What is your anticipation? What is your expectation of the Lord? When you come to church on a Sunday morning, what do you expect the Lord to do? Nothing? Or do you expect him to come in and do in that moment whatever he wants to do, and knowing that whatever God wants to do is good, it's freeing, it's powerful, it's real. It's real. Your life in Christ, not just this place, your life in Christ is full. It's powerful. He doesn't want it to be a so-so hum-hum. It's time to get out of the doldrums. So, The enemy knows if he can rob us of the joy of the Lord, we'll just feel tired, weak, and unenthusiastic. I love the word enthusiasm because it comes from exousia, to infuse people with the power of God. So when we're enthusiastic, we have let God, by His Spirit, it's not something we work up, it's not something we pretend, but we allow God, by His Spirit, to pour His Holy Spirit into us to overflowing with the power of God. Where is the power of God? It's in His Spirit. It is not in your flesh or mine. People can be really good public speakers. They can be really good ministers, but they can minister from their soul. And that's not what God wants. God wants the power of the Spirit in us so full that what we're ministering in and out of is His Spirit. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. So when we're unenthusiastic, we don't want to expect much because, after all, we might be disappointed. And so we get to a place where, you know, I don't really feel like going to church today. I don't really feel like praying today. I don't really feel like it. You know that joke? The man who's laying in bed and his wife comes in and says, "Come on, honey, it's time to get up and get ready for church." He says, I don't feel like it. And she said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I'm just tired. I've had enough. I just don't want to face it today. I just want to stay in bed." And she said, "But you're the pastor." But it doesn't matter if you're the pastor. Each one of you is a minister of God. Each and every single one of you. So what is it God wants you to do? What are you expecting of Him? When we walk in the fear of disappointment and discouragement, we block God. So we need to come out of that fear and into the place of expectation. I was thinking about at Christmas time, often churches will put up the wreath. I forget what they call it. Advent wreath. And so what that's a lot about, and one of the candles in particular is called the light of expectation. Are we living, another one is called the light of joy. Are we living in the light of joy? Are we living in the light of expectation? Not just at Christmas time, but every single day of the year. And you say, "Well, that's not possible because that's not reality." My husband and I used to talk about reality a lot. I'm just here to tell you, you can receive it or not. Jesus is your reality. He is your reality. He's my reality. And that's the reality I want to live in. I don't want to live in the reality of the world. This world doesn't have a lot to offer. I do have to say this, and I'm not taking exception to the song because I love the song, but it was hard for me today to sing "You Can Have All This World." Because honestly, I want to say, no, you can't. I don't want to give this world over to men. I don't want to give this world over to the devil. I'm not fighting against the song. I love the song. I'll sing the song. But I believe God wants us to take charge in His Spirit and subdue the earth, the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that those who receive Him and believe in Him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And so part of me wants to cry out, "No, you can't have it. Satan, you can't have it. Men, you can't have it. It belongs to Jesus. And one day He's going to get it." The whole of it. Amen? Okay. So, do you believe God wants to move in you? Do you believe that? I think if we really believe that, we're going to have a whole different look on our face than we sometimes do. God, you want to move in my life. God, you want to move in my finances. God, you want to move in my body. God, you want to move in the world. You want others to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. How do we do that? We get real. We get real with Jesus. We get real with the Holy Spirit. So what part of the I don't know what you're seeing on me, but what I'm experiencing this morning is being filled with His Spirit because I asked Him to fill me. Because I knew I needed it. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I asked Him a couple of days ago, and I asked Him yesterday. And I wasn't necessarily feeling it all that much yesterday, but by faith, I knew He wanted to. And so, God, fill me with your Spirit. And He did. And I feel like, and I know I don't depend on my feelings, but I feel like I'm in the overflow this morning. And I like it a whole lot better than the so-so. The overflow is much better than the good enough. So, are you expecting God to really move? Do you believe He can? I think we would all say yes. My faith is sure. I believe God can move. But then we don't expect it. And because we don't expect it, we don't necessarily align with what God wants to do in us and through us in the now, in the moment. So part of it is just an awareness. It's not that the church is bad. I know there's good and bad everywhere, but it's not that. It's not that the church is falling short. The devil wants us to curse ourselves. He does. He wants us to say, well, you know, whatever. About ourselves, about church. And so we have to be very careful about our words. And our words come from what we believe in our heart, right? And so I'm trying to make it a point, don't always succeed, but I'm trying to make it a point to speak only what I hear God speaking. And you know, He's a lot more positive than we are. He's right there. It's like, yes, we can go. We can do this. We can get up and run by His Spirit. We can defeat whatever we need to defeat, conquer whatever we need to conquer by His Spirit. So we need to start expecting that it's really happening. Not just that it's going to happen, but that it is happening in the now. So be encouraged, be enthusiastic, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not asking you to pretend. I'm really not. I'm asking you to believe. That's all that's required. So we're going to talk about the great divide because what is standing in our way is the soul. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, we can think it's the body, and the body's in there too, but we are spirit. Do you know that? Do you know if you're born again, you're a living spirit? Because your spirit has been made alive in Christ. But most of the time, we live out of our soul, instead of out of His Spirit in us. And so this is what I want to hit on today, because I believe and I know that if we can allow the Lord to divide our soul and spirit, that we're going to move in the power of God like we've never moved in the power of God before. Because the soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions give way to the flesh and the devil more often than they give way to the Spirit of God. Does that mean that your mind, will, and emotions or body is a bad thing? It is not. God gave us our minds. He gave us our will. He gave us our emotions. He put us in this body that He created from the dust of the earth. None of that is bad. It just can't be in control. We've got to stop letting it be in control. We've got to stop letting our bodies be in control. Do you know what I mean when I'm saying that? There's such a thing as self-control, absolutely. But what I'm talking about is the rule in the kingdom realm. That has to come from the Spirit of God. And life is in the Spirit. It's not just going to drop from the sky. You know, we come saying, okay, God, do something for me. I'm not happy right now. Do something for me. I've got this bill to pay. Do something for me. And I'm telling you, God is right there ready to do something for us. Whatever we truly need, because he said, I will meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And that's Jesus, it's not us. And we keep looking for people to meet our needs. And sometimes people do, but only if they're really functioning by the Holy Spirit do they truly meet the reality of our need. Is this making sense? I'm not losing you, I hope. Okay. So question for you, what do you think the attitude of heaven is? Joy. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. That's the attitude of heaven. Well, we can think, well, you know, I have an obligation to fulfill. I have responsibilities to meet. Do you want to meet them by your soul, or do you want to meet them by the Spirit of God? Yeah. Is it possible that joylessness comes from a lack of believing God? Yeah. We need to believe in his word, communion with him. And that comes through regular prayer and reading his word and fellowship. It comes from loving the body of Christ, letting the body of Christ love you. But where it truly comes from, the core, the foundation, is believing God. Do we have issues that are weighing us down? Is our self-esteem all that or none of that? Well, if our self-esteem is coming from our soul, it will be one or the other. But if our self-esteem is coming by the Spirit of the Lord, we are walking in who we truly are in Christ. And that's what he wants for us. Why? Because he loves us and he wants us free. And the only way we're going to be free is by the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Amen. So what do we do about it when we just don't feel like it? Let's go to Romans chapter 7. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. When I get there. It's the only thing I prefer about the earpiece instead of the handhold. It's easier to turn pages. Okay. Chapter 7, and I'm going to start in verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. Because if you have Jesus living in you, that's good, right? Other than that, I know there's nothing good in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin, and that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? So he asks the question, and then he answers it. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because he has set us free from the law of sin and death. Hello. Hello. You are free from the law of sin and death. The grace of God empowers us not to be a slave to sin. So, are we walking in the flesh? And when I say the flesh, I'm talking about the soul. Are we trying to fulfill God's law and its resulting rules of behavior? Or are we walking in and by the Spirit of the living God, who is always living in the joy of the Lord, because he is joy? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. I hope this is going to bring change for you and clarity for you and extra hope for you and a desire to just, like I say, dance before the Lord, at least in your spirit. We had a visiting minister here one time, Larry Walker. Do you remember Larry? No, Taylor. Taylor. And he was a big man, full of the Spirit of God. And worship was crazy that day, crazy good. It was like people were dancing. I think Paul and Alan were probably dancing the way they used to. And he gets up to speak, and he talked about how good worship was, and he enjoyed the movement in the congregation. And he said, I just want to tell you, this is me dancing. Because he's a big man. He said, my body doesn't do it so good, but my spirit is right there. So Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Coming to it. So there is a special rest waiting for the people of God. And I just want to encourage you, rest isn't inactivity. It can be, but rest isn't really about inactivity. It's about peace in the Holy Spirit. It's about not striving in your soul, not striving in your body. It's just about, again, being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where rest comes from. For all of you who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God, and this is what I really want you to grasp right now, the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. This is where this message comes from. Cutting between soul and spirit, dividing joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed in his eyes. And he is the one to whom we will give an account. So, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come as that sharp two-edged sword and divide our soul from our spirit. Is this making sense? And I hope it will continue to make even more sense as you pray into it and think about it and let the Holy Spirit give you further revelation on it. Romans 7:4 says, you died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. Think about that. You died to the power of the law. The law is good because it reveals sin, right? But the power of the law mostly comes from a religious spirit of man-made rules that we really have difficulty keeping. And we even have trouble keeping the Ten Commandments, but God. And we died to the law and to man-made rules. Our spirit is free. Our spirit is alive. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, there's nothing in us that wants to participate in sin. And when we do, we just say, missed it, God, sorry. We don't have to beat ourselves up. We don't have to beat up other people who sinned, who missed it. And in fact, if we would spend less time beating up on ourselves and less time beating up on other people, leave them to God. Leave them. Pray for them. If you have the kind of relationship where you can go to them and speak to them and help them, then please do. Because the word says, restore your brother in love. Not in judgment. Not in one-upsmanship. Not in, I'm doing better than you're doing, so I need to help you. We restore one another in love. Not the love of the flesh, but the love of the Spirit of God. So it's by the Spirit of God that one can be restored when one has fallen. And it's by the Spirit of the Lord that when you fall, you can get right back up again. If we say we have no sin, we're lying. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive all our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are the righteousness of Christ. This is so freeing. It really is. We don't have to live by the soul and the dictates of the flesh. We get to live by the Spirit of God. Peace, joy, love, righteousness. It's all in him. So, where am I? Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And then Romans 7:5 and 6 says, when we were controlled by our old nature. Now, because of this message of dividing soul and spirit, I began to see that verse in this way, when we were controlled by our soul. Sinful desires were at work within us. But now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. See, the soul lives by the law, by the rules, trying to keep the law, trying to keep the rules. But it's by the Spirit that we have freedom and we have life. Our spirit lives by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My spirit is alive because of the Spirit of the Lord, not because of anything I've done except believe and receive what God has done for me. So I want to take the ticket of joy. I'm receiving it. The soul tries to master sin by living by the law. The spirit masters sin by living by the Spirit of God. So I had the strangest vision I think I've ever had, and I've had a few. But in this one, Jesus and I were standing on the ledge of the earth. I don't know how else to say it. In my vision, it was this flat place of earth, and we were standing, and earth isn't flat, anyway, standing on this ledge, and I'm with Jesus. I have absolutely no fear. I have absolutely no concern about anything because I'm with Jesus, and whatever may come, Jesus is right there, so I'm okay. And I see this huge, and I mean huge, demon monster. And he was peeking over the ledge. So in my vision, I could see him I could see him from about mid-chin all the way up to the top of his head. He was huge. He was ugly. He was dark. He had very sharp, big, jagged teeth and a great big, huge mouth. Now, you'd think that would scare me a little bit, but it didn't at all. And I'm looking at Jesus saying, I wonder what's going to happen next. And Jesus knew my thought, and he looked at the monster that I came to understand was his name was the Devourer. And Jesus just said, no, be gone. And he just, not without, no hesitation, he knew he was defeated, and he went, slithered away. And I looked at that, and I thought, so Jesus, you're right here with me, and so I have no fear, and you can do this. But didn't you say we were supposed to be conquerors and overcome the enemy? And he said, yes. And I said, so why don't we see that more in the church? Why does the Devourer seem to get away with what he's getting away with? And he said, because the church is trying to defeat him by their soul and not by my spirit. I went, okay, I get it. So we can believe wrongly about ourselves because we're actually letting our soul have charge, right? And even when we say, no, Jesus is in charge of my soul, he may be or he may not be. It depends on if you're trusting him out of that soul place or out of the spirit place. And when we're trusting him from the spirit place, he will take over your soul by his power. Because you say, yes, have it. And again, I'm not saying your soul is bad. Sometimes it's really, really bad. But that's not the point. The point is that in our soul, in our spirit, we can do nothing. But by the Spirit of the living God, there's nothing that's impossible to you. Absolutely nothing. Will he, when we think we're walking in the Spirit, does that mean that every desire of our flesh gets met? Because some of the desires of our flesh are not from his Spirit. So we just have to decide, Lord, what is it you want from me? Feel free to say, God, this is what I want from you. When the pastorate was offered to us, I'm like a deer in headlights. I have never pastored a church before. This is over 20 years ago. And I'm going, Lord, is this what you want for us? And you know what he said? Yes. And I thought, okay. I've never been to seminary. I never pastored church. I taught inmates in a correctional center. That's what I did. I counseled people. That's what I did. I raised children. That's what I did. I had never pastored. And I felt so unequipped. I don't think anyone is ever feeling fully equipped for whatever God wants them to do. But what I know is that we truly are equipped because we're equipped by the Spirit of God. And so I didn't need to listen to my soul, my thoughts, my feelings, my desires. All I had to say was, God, is this what you want? And we heard, both my husband and I heard so clearly that when we got here and things weren't going as well as we had hoped, I went back to him, God, is this still what you want? Yes. And so I didn't rest on what I could see or feel or think or what other people were saying or weren't saying. Did it affect me? I have to admit it certainly did. And I struggled. There were days I thought I couldn't breathe. There were days I felt like I couldn't get up again. But that's just the soul. And every time I would go to the Spirit. And sometimes I wouldn't even get to the Spirit before a prophet would call me and say, Janet, you know you can't quit yet. Yes. So we do need others around us to encourage us. Others who are hearing from the Spirit. I don't need to hear from somebody else's soul. I need to hear from their spirit. And you know, I think we know, when we're truly hearing from the Lord or not. So, what is God saying? What does he want for each and every one of us? When Pastor Todd Perna was here last week, how many of you got to hear him either online or in person? Powerful message. Powerful message. And he kept saying, I'm not a preacher. Well, he did a really good job, in my opinion. And I felt like the Spirit of God was ministering to me when he was here. And I so appreciated that. But the biggest takeaway from that Sunday, last Sunday, for me, was watching him minister to a young lady in the front row. Because that's when I heard the Spirit of God say, you have to separate soul from spirit. You've been living in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. See, that's the problem we see on the earth today is people are living out of their mind, their will, and their emotions. You made me feel bad, so you have to stop that. You didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, so you have to shut up. That's just the soul. It's certainly not the Spirit of God, is it? And so as he was ministering to her, it was one of those things that I watched and I was captivated. Was it all powerful? Like, he wasn't coming on like gangbusters. He was simply ministering to her. No hype. And my soul was receiving, my spirit was receiving what he was ministering to her, because that's the desire of my heart, to see that woman completely set free, to see the body of Christ completely set free. Set free of what? Set free of the lies we believe because our mind, will, and emotions are telling us something other than what the Spirit of God tells us. And so the sword of the Spirit can divide soul and spirit in such a way we stop believing the lies the soul tells us. Is that awesome or what? Yeah. I don't want to live in a lie. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God likes us a whole lot more than we think he does. And God likes our enemies a whole lot more than we think he does. In fact, he loves them. And what he wants for them is salvation. What he wants for them is the same freedom that he desires for all mankind. It's his will that none should perish, but that all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and eternal life in him. So if we are wrongly believing anything about ourselves or others because we are mastered by our soul, it's time to give over to God and his Spirit and be mastered by the Spirit. That's the rule I want to come under. And Jesus is sovereign. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he's trustworthy. Jesus is absolutely good. He's absolutely trustworthy. So the experiences we have in life should never dictate our relationship with God. Our experiences in life should never dictate what we think about God or what we think about the body. Our experiences are experiences. Some are good and some are bad. But the Word of God is alive and it's the solid foundation. And so if somebody comes to me and says to me, you failed, or if I come to me and I say, I failed, I can't accept that. I have to go to the Spirit of God. And you know, there have been circumstances and situations where I've said, Jesus, I failed. And he said, yeah, but it's okay. Really? Yes, you're not defined by your failure. You're defined by your belief in me. So you believe I can get you up from this failure and we can move on. I was talking with a really close friend of mine recently, and I heard myself saying, there's no demotion in the body of Christ, only promotion. And then when I got away from that, I said, God, is that really true? Because I know people have lost place and position and blah, blah. And he said, in this world. But he said, in me, there is never any demotion, only promotion. And God wants to take us further in him. He wants to take us deeper in him. He wants us to move in freedom in him. So I want to do a little exercise with us, if you're willing. If you can, if you would stand. And I'll say what I'm going to say, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it. And only repeat it if you believe it. So I'm not asking you to do anything against your will. But I want to move us through an exercise of letting the Holy Spirit divide soul from spirit. Okay? So here we go. Repeat after me if you're comfortable, if you would. Heavenly Father, thank you that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent your Holy Spirit to live in us. I confess that I have lived from my soul and allowed my thoughts, my will, and my emotions to have mastery over me. And that has given place to the devourer. Jesus, you alone are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I declare that from now on, my desire is to live by the Spirit of the Lord and not by my soul. I ask you, Jesus, to take the sword of your Spirit and divide my spirit from my soul in such a way that your Spirit will have lordship over my soul, and my soul will stop trying to be in charge. I recognize that I have even believed lies about you, about myself, and about others because of what I was hearing and feeling from my soul, instead of what your Spirit was saying to me. From this day forward, with your help, Holy Spirit, I will live in the revelation that I belong to the Spirit and not to my soulish thinking, desires, or feelings. Remind me of this truth. Should I ever start to think thoughts that try to allow my soul to override the Spirit? I know this is possible because you told us to hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Thank you for showing me the path to freedom. Thank you that I am free to live by the Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Fill me afresh and anew to the overflowing with your Holy Spirit. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and I have a fresh start each day. Help me to be excited about the life you've given me here on earth, and especially about the life to come. Enthuse me with the hope and power of your Spirit, and with the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. Feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others.